Biblical vision is the lens that helps us interpret the events of our life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to develop 20/20 vision through the lens of God's Word.
Every time Jesus did anything good, some people criticized what he did. And if you're waiting for this perfect little moment where you can witness for Christ and not be embarrassed and it won't cost you anything and no one's gonna think you're just a little different, then that time will never come, because you have to be a little different to make a difference.
Vision is the lens that interprets the way we view people and our concept of God. In John chapter 8, Jesus reminds us as believers that we can know the truth and that the truth can set us free. If you want to know more about biblical truth, then this series is for you. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The things we perceive to be true determine the way we respond to the world around us and to the God who lives within us. In our series, 20/20 Vision, we will develop a better understanding of who Jesus is and how he can make a difference in our lives. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called, Can You See Him Now?
Now notice that. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. My friend, as God blesses you, be careful that you do not adapt the world's philosophy. Don't let your CPA run your generosity factor. Don't let your business coach tell you how life is to develop. Don't let some unsaved friend be your chief counsel. You let the Lord God Almighty give you the guidance that you need. It tells us in the Bible to trust in the living God concerning these matters. But Zacchaeus was trusting only in himself. It was all about Zacchaeus and no one else. His position was a publican. His prosperity, he had become quite wealthy. But I want you to see, thirdly, his purpose. His purpose. What was Zacchaeus trying to accomplish on this day? Verse 3 tells us. In verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Very simply stated, Zacchaeus on this particular day wanted to see or perceive the Lord Jesus Christ with his eyes. Now, I don't know exactly why this curiosity had come into his heart. I can envision several things in my mind. Perhaps he went to a man's house one day, and perhaps earlier this same day, knocked on his door and said, "Hey, Bart, open the door, Bartimaeus. I know you're in there. You owe money. And I'm telling you, I want that money with interest right now." I imagine Bartimaeus coming to the door and saying, "Hello, Zacchaeus. Why, you look very nice today. It's nice to see you, Zacchaeus." I can hear Zacchaeus saying, "What do you mean, see me? You're blind. You can't see me. What are you talking about? Just give me my money right now." And I can hear Bartimaeus saying, "Oh, yes, I can see you. And now I can work, Zacchaeus. And now I can have a life and a job. And I want you to know, Zacchaeus, that I love you, Zacchaeus, and I'm going to pay you back the money that I owe you. You see, I met a man named Jesus Christ, and he touched me, and he set me free from my blindness, and now I have a life worth living." I can imagine old Zacchaeus scratching his head as he left Bartimaeus' house. Perhaps he went to another place, and perhaps he knocked on the door, and they said, "Oh, Zacchaeus, we're so glad you're here. Zacchaeus, would you like to come in? By the way, Zacchaeus, did you hear about a publican by the name of Matthew? He met a man named Jesus Christ, and rumor has it he's forgiven all the debts that anybody owed him. Matthew the publican has become a born-again follower of Jesus Christ." I can imagine Zacchaeus saying, "No, not Matthew. Why, he was the hardest of the hard tax collectors. I cannot imagine someone like Matthew coming to the Lord Jesus Christ." I believe curiosity began to creep in to the heart of Zacchaeus. And so curious was he that he purposed on this day that he would see this one named Jesus Christ. Did you know that if you are a Christian, somebody's watching you today? Somebody saw you drive to church today. Somebody said to his wife as they looked, as they had some coffee and looked out the window, there they go again. They go every Sunday morning. Why, there's something about that family. Did you know that there will be people, Lord willing, that will be here next Saturday night and next Sunday night sitting in this auditorium just to see what it's all about? Just curious to see what's going on in your life and what's made the difference in your life. And Zacchaeus was a man who was purposing just to check it out, just to see what this Jesus was doing and what it was all about. Well, notice one more thing about Zacchaeus this morning. Notice his posture. I want you to see something about his posture in verse number 4. It says, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now notice, here we see that he was a very short man. Verse 3 says, he was little of stature. He was just a little tiny fella, and so he couldn't see above the crowd, so he climbed up into a sycamore tree, and he wanted to see Jesus, and so he climbed up into the sycamore tree to see what he could see. He was a curious seeker, but notice secondly this morning, a compassionate Savior. I want you to see this. Jesus came by. Jesus came by. And the Bible says in verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now I want you to see about Jesus Christ that he looked unselfishly at Zacchaeus. He looked unselfishly. Now don't misunderstand me. I don't want to criticize anyone here this morning. But sometimes we can get so busy and yes, so selfish and so focused on what we have to do that we can forget there's a lady right there in line next to us with a tear in the corner of her eye whose husband just left her. There's a teenager over here whose mom and dad are fighting. There's a lonely lady here whose husband has been gone for many years and she'll have Christmas alone again this year. And there's a neighbor here whose wife is an alcoholic and he's just at the end of himself. But you've got a lot to do because you're busy and you're important and you've got an agenda and you have a day timer that you've got to get everything marked off. And so through the day we go, 1, 2, 3. I've got to go get my things done. I've got to get all my things purchased. I've got to get back. And sometimes we can forget to notice people all around us. But Jesus always noticed. The Lord Jesus, the Bible says, he loved this man. The Bible says that he looked unselfishly toward him. Jesus, I suppose, knowing all things, could have walked by and said, well, there's that wicked man up in a tree. What's he doing up there? Why, he could have said, why, Zacchaeus, you fool, come down from there. He could have thought all different kinds of things, but in a very unselfish way, he stopped. And he took note of someone that had a real need. Someone says, well, didn't Jesus know that Zacchaeus was a wicked extortioner? Oh, he knew that. In fact, he knows all about the sins in our hearts. The Bible says in Psalm 139 in verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. I want you to know this morning, there's not one thing going on in your heart that God doesn't know about this morning. But he still stopped for you. He still came your way. And he still loves you personally. You see, all the time Zacchaeus thought he was looking for the Lord, but it was really the Lord looking for him, you see. In salvation, we are not the prime mover. We're not the first one that ever moved towards God. Oh, no. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. It was God that was looking for Zacchaeus. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. And so Jesus came by intentionally and lovingly towards this man, Zacchaeus. Notice he looked unselfishly, but notice secondly, he loved unconditionally. Now get this in your mind in verse 7. Notice it. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Now, Jesus Christ had his critics. By the way, anything going forward for God will face that sometimes. If you intend to kind of be out and about as a child of God, there will be those who are going to say, well, what does he think he is anyways? Well, what does he think I am, a sinner? Yes. No, not really. We're all sinners. Luke 15:2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Look, here's my point. Every time Jesus did anything good, some people criticized what he did. They murmured against him. They constantly watched him and tried to find fault. And if you're waiting for this perfect little moment where you can witness for Christ and not be embarrassed and it won't cost you anything and no one's going to think you're just a little different, then that time will never come, because you have to be a little different to make a difference. And Jesus Christ said, look it, this is so important. I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what the murmurers say. Zacchaeus needs what I have to offer to him. And so he loved him unconditionally. By the way, you say, you mean Jesus loved a wicked man like Zacchaeus? Yes, he did. And this church is a Bible-believing church that believes in the infallibility of the Scriptures, and we believe the cover to cover. I'm like one old preacher that said, I even believe the cover where it says Holy Bible. We're against everything this book is against, and we're for everything this book is for. And when there's wickedness in our society, we're going to speak out about it. But listen, that doesn't mean we don't love people. You can hate the sin and still love the sinner, you see. And Jesus was not condoning Zacchaeus' lifestyle when he said, I want to go to your house. He was trying to change Zacchaeus' life through salvation. Oh, what a Savior we have. What a compassionate Savior who was willing to identify with us in our imperfection and sin. He didn't have to stop, just like we don't stop when people around us have needs, but he stopped anyways. We see a curious seeker. We see a compassionate Savior. And finally this morning, notice with me, we have a complete salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm going to give you a little question to think about, and then I'm going to ask it to you again in 8 minutes from right now. Here's the question. Are you saved? Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Are you saved? Now, in order to get saved, you first have to admit that you're lost. Everybody would say, oh, Zacchaeus was lost. He was a wicked sinner. But notice what the Bible says here about salvation. Salvation was not going to be based upon anything that Zacchaeus did. It would be, letter A, based on Christ's payment. Salvation would be based upon what Jesus was going to do. Verse 9, Jesus answered and said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now there was a promise made to Abraham back in the book of Genesis chapter 15. It also was an unconditional promise. It was God saying to Abraham, Abraham, I am going to bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. And Abraham, from your seed, I will bless all nations of the world. He reiterated that promise to David when he gave David a covenant, saying that from the house of David, I am going to bring salvation to the world. Listen, that's why it is so significant in Luke chapter 2 when the Bible says that he was born of the house and lineage of David. Why? That was God's way of saying, hey, this is my beloved son. This is your Messiah. Now Galatians 3:14 says it this way, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Paul says, now listen, that blessing that God promised about Abraham, that came through Jesus Christ. And so Zacchaeus is now being told as a child of Abraham. And those critics standing around are being told that God, who promised to bless through Abraham, has now fulfilled that promise in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that promise to Abraham concerning Christ would be consummated when Jesus shed his blood on the old rugged cross. Jesus would pay for the sins of Zacchaeus, for my sins and your sins, when he died on that cross. Look, if you would, at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Notice verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now, if you found that, let's read it together. Verse 10, 1 John 4:10. Read it a little loud this morning. Ready? Begin. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that and sent his son. The word propitiation means the covering. There was a time in the Old Testament where placed upon the mercy seat, there was the blood that was sprinkled. The blood became the covering for the sins of Israel. When Jesus died on the cross, he became the covering for our sin. That's why Jesus said, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house. The covering for your sin has arrived, Zacchaeus, and you can be saved by receiving me. Oh, I'm glad today that Jesus covers my sin. I'm not perfect. Say, but you're a Baptist and you're a pastor and you're this and you're that. No, let me tell you what I was before any of those things. I was a sinner. Born into this world as a sinner who needed a covering for my sin. And little did I know as a little baby, but I came to the age of understanding to realize that God provided a covering, and that covering is Jesus Christ. On August the 16th, 1987, one of America's worst air disasters took place. Flight 225 left the Detroit airport. The airplane got up into the air several hundred feet when things began to shudder and shake. Problems developed, and suddenly and without warning, that aircraft fell. And on that plane that day, there were 156 passengers. 155 of them were killed immediately. There was one little child, just a little two-year-old named Cecilia from Tempe, Arizona, found amidst the wreckage. She was crying but unscathed. At first, the police officers thought she must be from one of the automobiles that was struck by the aircraft. There's no way that she was in the airplane, but they checked the manifest, and lo and behold, there was Cecilia's name. And so as the investigators began to do their work, they discovered that Cecilia's mother, a woman by the name of Paula, as the plane began to come down towards Earth, unbuckled her seatbelt, turned herself around in the seat, and cradled and covered little Cecilia in her arms. And she would let nothing come between her and her daughter. And when the plane came to the point of impact, it was the covering of her mother that saved the life of Cecilia, so that she was brought out of the wreckage without one single scratch. And I want you to understand that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he provided a covering for you and for me, so that we could not be touched by the wages of our sin, but that by the grace of God, there was a covering over us. That covering was in the form of the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you come to the fountain of the blood of Jesus Christ, and I mean by that, when you come by faith and understand that Jesus died for your sin and you accept Jesus as your Savior, then, my friend, you have a payment for your sin, not from a church, but from a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's based on Christ's payment, but notice secondly, it provides a complete pardon. Notice if you would in your Bible, and if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, please, in verse 13. Let me show you how wonderful this covering is. Let me show you what Jesus meant when he said, today salvation is come to your house. I want you to get excited about being saved today. I want you to walk out of here glad that your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1 is the testimony of Paul the Apostle. He's telling his testimony to Timothy. By the way, you ought to tell your testimony to somebody. And this is what Paul said. He said, I was before a blasphemer. Hey, any of you know any blasphemers? You'll hear it tomorrow. I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering. Notice this, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You say, Pastor Chapel, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the drugs I've taken. You don't know the crimes I've committed. You don't know the thoughts I've had in my mind. You do not know how depraved I really am. You know what, friend? I don't need to know how depraved you are. The Bible says that God has a covering that could cover Zacchaeus, a wicked extortioner. God says that Paul the Apostle was the chief of all sinners, and that God saved him to set the example, that if God could save Paul, God could save anybody. And I'm telling you, my friend, it doesn't matter where you've been, and it doesn't matter what you've done. There's a covering for your sin today. Today, salvation has come to your house. Can you see him now? Can you see the Lord Jesus there? Can you understand that Jesus Christ is saying, my blood is sufficient for your sin? But notice thirdly, not only is this based on Christ's payment, not only does it bring a complete pardon, but this salvation was followed by a profession. It was followed by a profession. I believe people that get saved, some change starts to happen in their life. There's something different. The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. Places I used to go, don't go there anymore. There's a change. There's been a change in Zacchaeus' life. Notice what he says in verse 8. His friends were questioning the sincerity of his faith. By the way, when you first get saved, you'll have some friends question you too. And they were questioning it, but Zacchaeus, verse 8, stood. And he said, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now here's a man whose salvation was so genuine. He not only refers to the Lord as the Lord, but he said, Lord, now that I understand this, now that I am saved, I want to repay my debt fourfold. I want to take what I have and give half of it to the poor. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Now he's moving from success to significance. Now he's learning what it is to have a truly significant life. I worry about a man who says he's saved but robs from God. I worry about a woman who says she's saved but harbors bitterness. I worry about someone who says they're a child of God, but there's no evidence, no fruit, no generosity, no real genuine walk with God. But Zacchaeus had a testimony that God had changed his life. I'm going to tell you, when you stand up in front of your friends and neighbors and confess your sin and say, please forgive me, I want to pay you back, something's happened in your life. And I wonder, is there something this Christmas that God would have you to do? Is there someone this Christmas that God would have you to go to them and say, I was wrong and I want to repay you and here's a gift for you and I want to tell you Jesus has changed my life. I'm not the same old Joe, Tom, Dick, or Harry that I used to be. Jesus has changed my life. Is there some way that you can testify this season about it? And may I tell you, friend, that you are not ready for eternity until you see what Jesus has done for you and believe on him in your heart. Can you see him now on the cross? Can you see him now suffering and bleeding and dying? Can you hear him saying, it is finished? Can you see yourself as a sinner and without a Savior? And if you can, then come to Jesus today. Even as he said, Zacchaeus, get out of that tree. I'm going to your house today. Some of you came here just to look, just to see what this is all about. And now I believe Jesus would say, why don't you come? Amen. Come unto me, all ye that are laden with heaviness, all ye that labor and need rest, come, and I will give you rest. Luke chapter 2, after Jesus is born, he's brought to the temple in Jerusalem. He's given to a man by the name of Simeon. And as he comes there for the time of purification, Simeon takes Jesus Christ into his arms. And Simeon holds him. And look in your notes, Luke 2:29. This is what he says. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Listen to those words. Lord, now I can depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen your salvation. He was an old man waiting at the temple. He said, I wasn't ready to die. I've been waiting for the Messiah. I've been waiting for this moment, but now salvation has come to my house. I'm holding the Messiah in my hands. Mine eyes have seen my salvation. Can you see him now? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to give you salvation. And if you see it, then I urge you today to put your faith in Christ. Trust in him. Let him cover your sin and save your soul.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled Sailing with Jesus, Choosing Faith as Your Compass. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. This book will challenge you to discover vital lessons on what it means to live by faith. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.